Hello and welcome to the Murderer Thoughts Podcast. Today we'll be talking about the infamous killer Charles Manson. Many of you probably know the name, but not the specifics of what he did. Today I will give an in-depth details of his life, including the infamous murders that he has been known by many to have been involved in. I'm going to begin by talking about his childhood and early life. Charles Manson was born on November 12, 1934 in Cincinnati, Ohio. His mother was only 16 at the time of his birth. His father was a con artist and left when he found out that she was pregnant. In 1947, his mother looked for an orphanage that she could leave Charles at. She was unable to find one, so she decided to send him to the Gibault School for Boys that was run by Catholic priests. Charles ran away and went back to live with his mother. Instead of taking him back in, she quickly returned him. He spent the Christmas of 1947 at his aunt and uncle's house. He was caught stealing a gun from them. Charles was then sent back to Gibault, but ran away 10 months later. He knew he couldn't run back to his mother's house, so instead he went to Indianapolis and rented a room, and he supported himself by burglarizing stores at night. He was eventually caught, and the judge was nice enough to send him to Boys Town, which was a juvenile detention center. Just 4 days later, him and another juvenile named Blackie Nielsen stole a car and somehow obtained a gun. They used the gun to rob a grocery store and a casino. They made their way to Peoria, Illinois, where Nielsen's uncle had lived. Nielsen's uncle was a professional thief and made the boys his apprentices. Charles was arrested 2 weeks after arriving for a robbery at a Peoria store. He was also connected to the previous robberies and then was sent to the Indiana Boys School, which was a strict reform school. He claimed that the other boys had raped him with the encouragement of a staff member. Charles developed a defense tactic that he called the insane game, where he would scream and wave his arms around to try and make others believe that he was crazy. He tried a number of times to try and escape the school and finally succeeded in February of 1951 with two other boys. They tried to drive to California in multiple stolen cars, but were later arrested in Utah, and they had robbed many gas stations on their trip. He was then sent to another reform school for boys in Washington, D.C. They gave him an aptitude test, and they found that he was illiterate and had an IQ of 109. At the time, the national average IQ was 100. Later on, his caseworker deemed him aggressively antisocial. I will now be moving on to talk about some of Charles's crimes that were not including the cult. After the psychiatrist, Charles was sent to a minimum security institution to help him rehabilitate. His aunt would visit frequently and said that Charles would live with her and she would help him find a job. He had a parole hearing scheduled to be released but was caught raping a boy at knife point. He was then sent to a federal reformatory where he committed 8 serious disciplinary actions, 3 of which included sexual acts. He was then sent to a maximum security reformatory in Ohio. He was supposed to stay there until his 21st birthday but was let out early due to good behavior. He then lived with his aunt and uncle. In 1955, he married a hospital waitress, and they moved to Los Angeles 3 months after his wife was pregnant. They came in a car that Charles had stolen from Ohio. He was later caught and charged federally for driving the car over state lines. He was sentenced to 5 years of probation. He then failed to show for his court hearing and was sentenced to 3 years in a prison in San Pedro, California. During his first year there, Charles's wife had their kid, Charles Manson Jr. His wife would visit frequently with their son, but soon the visit stopped, and he received news from his aunt that his wife was living with another man. Infuriated, Charles tried to steal a car and escape, but was unsuccessful and got sentenced to 5 years of probation. When Charles was released and started his probation, everything went downhill again. He almost immediately started pimping out a 16-year-old girl for money and made some more money by leeching off of another girl's wealthy parents. Obviously, Charles wasn't going to change his criminal ways. I will now be moving on to talk about the cult of Charles Manson. He was admitted to state prison in Los Angeles County on April 22, 1971 for 7 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of conspiracy to commit murder for the deaths of Abigail Ann Folger, Wojciech Frykowski, Stephen Earl Parent, Sharon Tate Polanski, Jay Spring, and Leno and Rosemary Labianca. He was sentenced to death. When the death penalty was ruled unconstitutional in 1972, he was resentenced to life with the possibility of parole. His original death sentence was modified to life on February 2, 1977. On December 13, 1971, Manson was convicted of first-degree murder in Los Angeles County Court for the July 25th, 1969 death of musician Gary Hindman. He was also convicted of first-degree murder for the August 1969 death of Donald Jerome Shorty Shea. A footnote to the conclusion of California versus Anderson, the 1972 decision that neutralized California's death sentences, stated that any prisoner now under a sentence of death may file for a petition for right of habeas corpus in the Superior Court, inviting that court to modify its judgment to provide for appropriate alternative punishment of life imprisonment or life imprisonment without possibility of parole, specified by statute for the crime for which he was sentenced to death. Basically, this means that Manson was eligible to apply for parole after 7 years of incarceration. In 1978, his first parole hearing took place, and his petition was rejected, so he had to stay there. Ever since then, Manson has been in prison, and he actually later died in 2017. Thank you, audience, for joining me and listening to my podcast about Charles Manson.